The glory of the cross. The cross is the most recognisable symbol of Christianity. It crowns buildings, sits in windows, marks graves, and is worn round millions of necks. It's easy to forget that originally it was an instrument of torture and death. It was a hated and feared symbol of Roman oppression, used to humiliate and make an example of those who angered the Roman invaders. The Romans themselves despised it, and no Roman citizen was allowed to be crucified. It was reserved for slaves and conquered peoples. We're told that Jesus feared it too, like all his contemporaries. On the night before he died, he prays in agony, "Take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." On Good Friday, we witness the darkest of hours, as Jesus, the greatest teacher and healer that has ever been known, dies an agonizing, slow death. The cross was so feared that it didn't become the symbol of Christianity until 300 years after the death of Jesus, when a Roman emperor became a Christian and banned the use of the cross as a means of execution. Only then was the secret fish symbol used by Christians to identify themselves replaced with the cross that we now know so well. So how did Bad Friday become Good Friday? Well, the name is easy to explain. Good Friday was originally called God Friday. And just like the words "God be with you" have become our modern goodbye, so God Friday became Good Friday. It's a slip of the tongue, but it's actually a happy slip. For this day was seen as a good day as well as a God day from earliest times. Jesus himself says this about it in John's Gospel. "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Now we are beginning to understand the power of a good person choosing to put their life at risk for others in this epidemic, as we see the rising number of doctors, nurses, and healthcare assistants who are actually dying as a result of their loyalty to their patients and their colleagues. Who of us is not inspired to give a bit more and endure a bit more by the sacrifice of these who choose to continue caring when they knew it could cost them their lives? This is the glory of which Jesus speaks. The glory of surrender into the hands of faceless evil, of courage, of sacrifice and loyalty. And the paradox here is summed up again by Jesus as he surrenders to his own death, the final outrage in his shameful treatment. His words are indeed words of surrender, but not into the hands of evil, into the hands of God. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," he cries at the last. Evil has done all it could. His body is broken, his mind starved of oxygen, his heart torn by the sight of his grieving mother. But as Jesus dies, he surrenders not to evil, but to God. Because evil has lost its grip on him. As he dies, he passes out of its domain and rests in the deeper reality that God holds us all, including this broken, virus-riddled, frightened earth. As he dies, the power of evil is broken, and not just for Jesus alone. So this is the power of this day, this Good Friday. All the forces of evil are arraigned against Jesus, and they spend their power on him, only to find that he slips out of their domain and opens up a way for all who wish to live outside the destructive power games, hatred, cruelty and despair of a godless world. This is not some council of despair, still less a charter for suicide. This is not me saying that death is something welcome, and yet it's true that Jesus' death takes away the fear of death. We tend to fear what we don't understand, but Jesus teaches us that death is not something to be feared. The beautiful story of him promising one of the men on the cross next to him that today you will be with me in paradise tells us that death is not some shadowy sleep, still less a place of torment, but it's the fulfillment of our dreams. The place where the truth comes out and we are naked in the love of God, just like Adam and Eve before the tragedy in the garden that's described in Genesis 3, because paradise is another word for Eden, the garden, the place of our nakedness before God. The power of this day is that Jesus takes this freedom to live outside the power of evil right back into our broken, hurting world. The evil powers thought that by crucifying Jesus they could manage the world to suit themselves. But Jesus, by his voluntary acceptance of death and his resurrection, inaugurates a new era where in the power of his spirit, women and men, girls and boys can live lives that openly defy the power of evil and selfishness and despair. Now, I'd like to share with you some stories that have reminded me just this last week of God's people living these countercultural lives, lives that defy evil to its very face. There's the story of an 8-year-old member of St. Paul's Church who decided quite on her own to put a worry box at the end of her drive so passers-by could put their worries in it. And at the end of the week, she took them to hang on the cross outside St. Paul's Church. There's the story of the PCC at St. Mary's, North Tadley, who decided to go on paying their cleaner, even though she can't work at the moment, because they care about her and her family. There's the story of the man who occasionally goes to church in Silchester, yet offered to help financially anyone who Reverend Rob knows has money problems. There's the story of a harassed single mum who immediately offered to shop for any of our isolated older people. And then there's the many of you who have volunteered to help lonely people, or collect prescriptions, or shop for the isolated, or give extra money to food bank. All of these stories remind me powerfully of people living differently because of Jesus. The death of Jesus sets us free from the self-obsessed fear that holds back from acts of kindness and generosity. The death of Jesus sets us free from the fear of this virus so that we're able to choose rationally not to go out for the sake of other people, not for our own sake. The death of Jesus helps us know that lives which have to be laid down in this epidemic are not wasted, but weave the very fabric of our society. They earn a reward far beyond the rewards of Hollywood. The death of Jesus defines the church as the body of people who live generous, sacrificial lives. So whenever the church becomes mean or selfish or driven by fear, it forgets what it is. The church is the company of the free, for whom death holds no fear. The church is the company of the forgiven, for whom failure is never the last word. The church is the company of the holy, for whom Jesus is all in all. The church is the company of all faithful people, regardless of race or income or age or gender or education or culture or even orthodoxy, all those who refuse to bow to evil and despair. The church is you, and it's me, and it's all who walk in the way of Christ, the way of the cross. Today we honour our leader, Jesus, who calls us to take up our own crosses and follow him in the ever-present battle to overcome evil by refusing to play by its rules. And one day, he will return, and death, all deaths, will be swallowed up in victory. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, on this holy day, we remember your death, your passion, the love that took you to the cross for us. And we commit ourselves again to walking in your footsteps, to loving even when it hurts, to giving even when it costs, to living lives of generosity and service, even when our service consists of staying at home and apparently doing very little. We trust you. We walk with you. We admire you. We belong to you. Amen.